Good evening, and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God. Today is Monday, March 20th, 2023, and we are going to have a very, very interesting discussion tonight. You're not going to want to miss us. But before we get started, we are going to remind everybody what that Pledge of Allegiance is about. And, of course, hopefully most of you have heard the Jan Sixers singing the national anthem and then Trump saying the Pledge of Allegiance through it. If you haven't heard that, you need to go out there and listen to it. It was really nice the way they did it and reminding us about both the national anthem and about the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Seems like a pretty good idea, doesn't it? Somehow we've got to get back to there. And tonight we're going to be talking about how we get back there, and we start out by a call to action to take back our ballot box. In 2024, hopefully we survive that long, because we still have a ways to go to get to that next election. And the craziness of what's happening in our society today, it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell at times whether we will make that. With all the insanity, I'm going to make a quick mention about banking. Just everybody needs to be engaged in what's happening, understand what they're doing with these banks, how the they're trying to have a national banking system like they have in Canada, basically, where there's only, what, four or five banks or something. That's what they're trying to do here. The Fed is trying to take over, and people really need to understand what the Federal Reserve is. If you haven't studied up on that or don't understand it, it's the Federal Reserve is not a public entity, it's a private entity. And we got to remind people about that. And the Federal Reserve is exactly what Jefferson warned us about. Do not have a central bank. It will be worse than a standing army as far as taking us down. And that's exactly what's happening. So we have to block this, stop the digital currency stuff. So please take some time to learn about that. I'm not going to tell you how to invest your money or any of that stuff, because we hear that all over the place. But go read the Creature from Jekyll Island and learn how the Federal Reserve was created. Learn what the Federal Reserve really is, because it's not a governmental entity. It's not a public entity. It's a private entity. And they have massive, massive control over the economy because they control the banks. So anyway, we will have another show on that. But it's been heating up so much with what's happened with these banks lately. I just figured I kind of had to mention it. The other thing, before we take the deep dive into taking back our ballot box, which many of you know, a couple weeks back we talked about the Battle of Athens, where they took back their ballot box, we have to realize where we're at today when it comes to these elections, okay? We have this terrible situation between Trump and DeSantis, and I'm putting this out there now because I'm going to keep saying it, hopes that somehow, some way, it works its way back into the Trump campaign, the DeSantis campaign, to the GOP or whoever. Somebody is going to listen, because if we want to destroy the country, I think DeSantis and Trump battling each other is a very good way to do it. Let's go ahead and fight each other. It just the insanity of these two adult men and the things that they're doing. Now, I haven't heard DeSantis call Trump any names per se. Maybe somebody on his campaign team did. I don't know. But I've never heard DeSantis say it. Trump goes around saying DeSantis and things like that. And you know, President Trump, if you hear this message at all, if anybody can get this to you somehow, some way, would you please stop doing that? And there's maybe a little humor here and there, but overall you're causing more harm to yourself and to the people. You're there for the people, right? Right? And so if you want to alienate people, do silly things like that. But it would be so much nicer if you wouldn't be the bully on the playground routine and you said, here's what we need to do. Here's how we need to be united. And here, DeSantis has done many good things for Florida. To go and trash DeSantis doesn't help you at all. And there's many things DeSantis has done that has been good, the ESG stuff. Right now he's out there fighting the central bank routine to have the takedown, and I need more information on it, but I know he's working on some of that as well. And there's things that DeSantis has done that's been good. And, of course, his reaction to COVID, which was not the same as yours, unfortunately, but DeSantis was right on the COVID stuff. So for you to insult him and trash him only hurts you. You're alienating a very big portion of Floridians and people throughout this country. You should be working with him. DeSantis should, and I totally oppose DeSantis running for the presidency. Of course, we don't hear that technically being said yet, but he shouldn't even consider it. He would have to resign, as the state laws are today. He would have to resign from the governorship. He cannot be the governor of Florida and run for the presidency. You can't do both at the same time. And I would like for him to stay on as the governor. We just elected him. That's what he should do. He should be there. He should be one of the generals out in the country, if you will, helping the commander-in-chief take down the insanity of the Marxism and the communism that's going over this country. You two should be working together. You should be part of the same army, if you will, to defend this country instead of fighting each other and destroying each other, because you're both going to get destroyed in it to some degree. DeSantis, I don't think at all, has a chance to win this particular battle, assuming Trump isn't in jail. We'll talk about that in a minute. He's not going to be able to win this battle. And his response in reference to the threats of arresting Trump and this other stuff that's going on has been very, I'll just say, weak. He admitted these are Soros district attorneys and blah, 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 and the weaponizing the using their office for political means instead of law enforcement and stuff like that. So he was all right on that. He really didn't say enough. He didn't say this was an outrage to be doing this, and he wasn't as aggressive to me as I think he should have been in opposing this type of very un-American thing. It's so anti-American what they're doing with Trump, so anti-American what they did with Jan Sixers. It's just, it's a police state. This is communism. This isn't America. This isn't freedom. This isn't liberty. This isn't the rule of law. And DeSantis, as an attorney, should have been speaking up more, not less. So it was very, and a JAG attorney at one point there in his military career. And so I don't get it. The communication between these two guys, it's just so self-defeating. And when Trump calls the names and this other silliness, this is childish behavior. You know, I mean, okay, there was a little bit of humor, fine, now stop it. You're going to alienate the other people, which I'm going to be talking about these no party affiliates, which I'm trying to be another one again. I attempted to change my party affiliation online, but I couldn't do that. I have to go down to the office. So I couldn't do that, but I will be doing it. I will be back to being a no-party affiliate. I am totally sick of the Republican Party, and of course sick of the Democrats too, which is the other thing I think people need to be thinking about right now. This Republican Party is so, so self-destructive. It's been taken over. It's a uniparty. There is no Republican Party, people. Which is going to be critical in the discussion we have tonight about political parties, what they are, who they are, what they really mean. It's totally insane, and we got to get rid of them. So the Republican Party, don't even, it's a joke. It's a farce. McConnell, which my understanding is I think he's either in some kind of therapy or physical recovery, whatever it is, in his accident or whatever, but I heard something about he suffered a concussion. But hopefully it keeps – while I don't wish any harm to Mitch McConnell, I don't wish that. At least it kind of keeps him out of the limelight, saying the silly things like he said about Jan Sixers and stuff. So I'll take that as a benefit of him having to go through this. But the whole point is, McConnell, if that's your idea of a Republican, then what? And this is one of the main leaders of the Republican Party. And then you look at the chairperson for the Republican Party. The Republican Party is hopeless. The political parties are hopeless. The political parties are the problem, as George Washington warned us they would be. they will cause problems for us. So the political parties are the wrong solution. Absolutely wrong. We cannot allow two private entities, and I will get into this a little bit more, private entities to control our elections. And we go back to the most basic on our the documents. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal, endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. We don't have any consent of the governed right now. If you believe this is consent of the governed, then you're not paying attention, because we're not there. We have been taken over by two political parties and by a very anti-American movement, Marxism, communism, whatever you want to call it, but they are trying to take down this country, and they're doing a very good job of it. If we aren't able to have the states do their stuff, DeSantis, and protect the rights, the 10th Amendment rights of the states, I don't know that the election in 2024 is going to mean anything if we can't do something now. So tonight we're going to talk. I promised Nathan. Nathan calls in frequently, and I promised him several months ago we were going to have a election night. We're going to talk about voting, voters' rights, elections, and he's going to be chiming in here shortly to give his side after I do my rant, if you will, on what's going on with our elections, the corruption of them all, the lack of any integrity, and the way they're used to abuse and destroy us. So we're going to talk about this, and Nathan will be joining. And then after that, then, you know, people can call in with the questions. So I'm going to give you my rant on what I think is going on with elections. He'll chime in, take some questions after that. And tonight, I'm somewhat anticipating that tonight's show might run over. So if you happen to be on towards the end of the second hour and the conversation is still going on quite heavily, you will want to call in and listen on the phone versus on the Internet, because the Internet will get cut at the 2 hours at 9 o'clock. Okay, now let's see. Was there anything else I absolutely needed to cover? Oh, yeah, one other thing real quick was some of you may have heard the song Trump Won and You Know It, and I heard it over the weekend. It's a great song. I'm going to try to play it at the very end of the show. We'll put it out there. They played this on Facebook, or it was out there on Facebook, and Facebook took it down and said it was false information. That should tell you something right there, too. And so, and if you haven't heard it, you need to. And if you haven't seen the video, you should watch it. Trump Won and You Know It. And it's really true. Anybody who's being honest with themselves and paying attention to what's going on, doesn't have the blinders on, you know that Trump won in 2020. There is no way Biden won. Not honestly. It was through electronic means and, of course, the ballot harvesting and all the other stuff that was going on is what happened there. So anyway, with all of that being said, what are we going to do to fix our elections? Well, to get the easy, the one I think most reasonable persons agree, trash the machines, the electronic machines, go back to paper ballots and hand counts. It can be done. We know it can be done. And this way we remove the tampering of the ballot box, of the ballots. Remember, we're taking it back, our ballot box, in 2024. So that one is, we have to do it. And I myself would like to see the actual voting day, election day, to be a full 24-hour period that nationwide. So of course, that means some will open earlier and some will close later, whatever. But a full 24-hour cycle, and one day, everybody votes, and then the polls all close at the same time and everything. It's been kind of crazy because of Hawaii and stuff like that and those kind of things. But I think we could do something different. That would just be a suggestion on how to do that. And then the other is the key is getting rid of the machines. Getting rid of these machines and going to paper ballots so we have a true way to validate the election. We have no way to validate today what they're doing. And that's what's happened. And we saw the same thing with Kerry Lake. Does anybody truly think Kerry Lake reasonably did not win? It was the same games. And then the openly blatant manipulation of the ballots, and it was just, it was so obvious, and what they did with the wrong size ballot paper and all this other stuff. And those aren't elections. It's a fraud. But there's no election there. Okay. Then, of course, the other is voter ID. There needs to, technically, you have to be an American citizen to vote in the federal elections. That is in the Constitution somewhere. I can't remember the exact spot, but it's out there. But I think there should be something to that across the board for any elections. I think you have to be a citizen of the country and of that state. If it's for something that's state and local, you need to be a resident of that state. I don't think illegals should be allowed to vote in our elections. Non-citizens should not be allowed to control. The consent of the governed is supposed to be the citizens, not anybody and everybody around the world. So we want Putin to vote in our elections too, I guess. Soros, well, we won't talk about him. But anyway, the point is it should be about the real Americans, the voters. The kids don't vote, you know, that type of thing. So voter ID, definitely. And then let's see, the closed primaries, and this is the one that Nathan will get into even more. But closed primaries, when you break down the Constitution, we have the right to participate in the primaries. Everybody has a right. So closed primaries are unconstitutional. And I'm going to let Nathan give the biggest part of that, but I'm going to throw that out there too. And this all goes to the fact that we allow two political parties, private entities, to control our elections. It is absolutely ridiculous and unconstitutional, in my opinion, that two private entities can control your elections. But that's what they do today. And and you can take it that we have the right to participate in the primaries, to vote in the primaries, and also you could go out there, it's illegal to charge a poll tax, and in a sense this is a poll tax. You're making me be a member of a political party in order to vote, and I shouldn't have to do that. I should have the right to vote. Now, the way we would structure open primaries isn't the craziness of what they do in Alaska, but there's other ways everybody should be able to participate in the primaries, and two parties should not control the election, and that is what has happened today. And when I say two parties, I kind of jokingly say, because the Republican Party doesn't really exist anymore, so it's a uniparty. So you've got two parties, one party blended, controlling your elections. You got a group of communists out there controlling your elections. How does that make you feel? So it's totally wrong what we do with these primaries. And the other aspect of it is when you take the no party affiliates, nationwide it's somewhere around 45%, and then you take all the third parties, the Constitution Party, the Libertarian Party, the Green Party, whatever, all these different parties that are out there. You take that, over 50% of the people do not get to participate in the primaries because they reject, and I strongly say reject, the Democrats and the Republicans. In any case, no private entity should control our elections, and they do. And over 50% of the people are blocked from participating in the primaries. Because we say we don't like these two parties. And this past year, I went, locally, and I'll talk a little bit about Florida in a couple minutes. I went because I thought I wasn't going to be able to vote in a local election at all if I was not a Republican, because there were two Republicans running. I went ahead and I changed the party affiliation. But I will be going back to what I was, a no-party affiliate. And we need to stand up for voters' rights. You should not have to be a Republican or a Democrat to participate in our system. And that's what it is today. The primaries are a key factor in our elections. You're totally closed out of that process. Those two parties are dictating who ends up truly on the other party, and they shut down everything else. Two parties should not be allowed to control the elections. And I can't stress enough, these are private entities. These are not public organizations. They are not part of the public process in that sense. They are private entities. All political parties are. They should not control the elections. And they should not be excluding the NPAs and the third parties. If you want to be a member of a party, go for it. You guys go have your convention. You decide who you want to put on that primary ballot. That's fine. Go do it. That's your own rally. Go do your own thing. If you want to put two people from your party on the primary, go ahead. Do it. Don't block me from voting because I'm not part of your club. I should not have to be a member of your club to vote. And that's what it is today. And, again, I'm sure Nathan's going to go into a little bit more probably on the closed primaries. Hopefully he'll dissect some of the Constitution and what I'm saying there. And then the other is something that some people don't want to talk about is we need to overturn Citizens United. Citizens United gave corporations election rights. Corporations are special entities for a business purpose. A corporation, as far as I know, a corporation does not go to the voting precinct and stand in line and vote. Does Woke a Coke go to the precinct and vote to the poll? Actually go to the polls and vote. Corporations don't have voting rights. So why are they allowed to control elections? They're just as bad as the political parties. If you do not vote, do not have the right to vote, you should not be allowed to control and influence the vote. You don't have a right to it. It's not your election. Coca-Cola, it's not your election. It's the American people. And that's just one of them. You go down the list of all these crazy corporations where the money is. So Citizens United, to me, was totally wrong and should be overturned. We should not allow corporations to control elections. Private entities, some of those are public traded, but you know what I'm saying. If you don't have any right to vote, you should not be given undue influence over the election. To me, it's pretty simple. And if anybody thinks that's crazy, go ahead and tell me. Tell me why. Because I remember clearly, and these were some of the so-called conservatives on the Supreme Court, saying, well, corporations are entities, and they have the right. They're not voting entities. They don't have the rights of a voter. They are not citizens. They are entities, not citizens, not voters. So to give them rights to an election, to me, is just very, very wrong. So you're going to give the right to anybody to vote, which is what we saw happen in 2020, right? Anybody could vote. Vote early, vote often. Recount the votes the way you want. Isn't that what they did? So, no. That can't be done either. Then we go to the ballot harvesting. Okay, should be totally illegal. There should be never a reason for ballot harvesting. If there's people who need some type of special assistance to vote or can't go to the polls the other way, there's a way to have absentee balloting or absentee voting. I'm all in favor of ethical absentee voting when it's required. But there's a proper way to do it. It's not having people just go out there harvesting the vote. There needs to be a constitutional amendment blocking that kind of insanity. And I know, as I recall, Trump was saying, we're going to do it legally. We're going to do the ballot harvesting legally, even though we may not really truly agree with it. But once we have to clean out the swamp, the cesspool, have to clean out the garbage in the deep state routine and then get some of these constitutional amendments. So when we do get around to this election, assuming again that we have a 2024 election, we've really got to push for amendments, constitutional amendments that protect our ballot, protect our constitution, protect our rights. Because right now we really don't have them. They've been destroyed beyond the corruption of the elections. We don't really have a vote. It's somewhat null and void at this point. I still participate. I'm not going to sit on the sidelines, but I'm going to be here trying to shut it down, to shut down the corruption. The other thing is that, and this doesn't happen, obviously, in the bigger elections, but no one should be allowed to be elected in a primary. And this is really big at the local level. The way we have rigged the system, and again, mostly because of the two-party system, people get elected in primaries, and because, especially like here in Florida, where you hear it time and time again, Florida is a closed primary state. Well, if it's a closed primary, and I'm either a no-party affiliate or I'm part of the Libertarian Party or whatever else, And I'm pretty much told, well, you don't get the vote in the primary. Well, wait a minute. But you're going to elect somebody in a primary? And what happens in Florida, there's two different scenarios. There are nonpartisan races. Used to be in Orange County, Florida, so they had nonpartisan races for the county commissioners and county mayor and some others. And so everybody had the right to vote in the primary. Only thing is most people didn't know that because they kept hearing it was a closed primary. So the no-party affiliates were in the third parties. They were pretty much disenfranchised by it. Now, some people say, well, it's not their fault. If they should have known better, they should have. Well, I used to try to get the secretary of the supervisor of elections in Orange County. So would you put more out there telling people that they're all supposed to vote in the primary? For the counties, get them to the polls, even if they don't get to vote on some of the state offices and things that are closed primaries. They're supposed to vote in these others, but they don't know it because all they hear is closed primaries. But it's all part of the game. It's all part of the nonsense. So, and then, you know, once in a while you'd hear a little bit on the news about, you know, primaries, the nonpartisan races in the county. But that's a case. So across the state, some counties have that. Some have closed primaries at the level, some don't. But the other side of it, which is what I experienced last time, if it's a closed primary, however, there's only two people running for a local office, and they both happen to be in the same party, then you elect one of them in the primary. And I'm like, no, if there's only two people, which is what it was in Orange County, if there's only two people running for one office, then it goes to the general. You don't elect them in a primary. I do not believe anybody should be elected in a primary. And that's what happens in Florida today. You can be elected in a primary. So there's the two situations there. Here I was just talking about the fact that it was a closed primary and two Republicans were running. So up until within 2 weeks of the election, it's being promoted closed primary, closed primary, closed primary. But the Florida law, which I put the link out there for people to look if they want to go check, Florida law, if there's only two people running and they're both in the same party, then everybody is allowed to vote in the primary. You want to talk about insanity and confusion? Well, when am I allowed to vote? I'm a no-party affiliate, so do I get to vote today or I don't? It's ridiculous. But more importantly is you shouldn't be electing anybody in a primary anyway. So these are problems that I plan on working on here in the state of Florida to do, because to me it's totally wrong to elect anybody in a primary. And because of the nature of the beast of closed primaries and some of these nonpartisan races and stuff like that, it totally disenfranchises the NPAs, the no-party affiliates, and the third parties who don't always have somebody on the ballot. And they sit home. They talk about low voter turnout. Why do you think that is? You're pretty much told, hey, if you're a no-party affiliate, you don't count. Stay home. Even though that's not really what you're saying, but that's what you're saying. It's a game. It's a fiasco. And it shouldn't be that way. We should all vote. We should all have the right to vote. We should all have the right to vote in the primaries. And, I mean, I haven't even touched on the elector stuff. But this is the other piece of them. Let's see, what was the other thing with Florida? The other one. This is a sneaky, sneaky thing they do at the local level. And I saw it in Orange County. And it's just so disingenuous. It's just so disgusting. These are evil people when they try to manipulate the system for their own benefit is what they do. And what they did, and I complained, and I got a little bit of report on it, me and a couple others, but nothing really changed. They slip referendums in on primaries. Excuse me. This happened when Obama was up for re-election. The Republicans were playing the game on the primary ballot because they knew almost nobody from the Democrat side was going to vote because Obama was already it. They knew that he was going to be the Democratic nominee. So they slip a referendum giving them more power to give money to certain groups and whatever else. I'd have to look it up again to see the exact wording. But they slip a referendum in on a primary because they already know there's only going to be a few people voting. They know a lot of people will never vote. The no-party affiliates aren't going to vote because they were told it's a closed primary. So they're blocked. Technically, when you have an item of a referendum item on the primary, everybody has the right to vote, except all you're hearing, it's a closed primary. So they have total control over this election of this other item of a referendum. This is how they corrupt our election process. This is another piece of taking back our ballot box. And most people don't even think about this stuff. They're thinking about the bigger issue, what happened with the ballots, ballot harvesting and the drop boxes and all that stuff, all that insanity. They're thinking about all that. But these are the other games they play. We have to bring integrity back to the whole ballot box, not strictly the presidential election, but to all of them. But they play these games too. And it's evil and devious. It's like, well, here's how we can get this passed. We could never get it passed on a general election because too many people, all those NPAs would be out there voting. And in Florida, and Nathan can give you the exact number, Florida has somewhere around 50% no party affiliates. Think about the fact 50% no party affiliates, and you say their vote doesn't count, and you're going to do everything you can to twist it and exclude them. And that's what these two parties do. They do it. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. And then the last part, I'm going to I figured I'd be going on for at least 30 minutes here. The other part is in reference to the electors, and this is where Nathan and I have had many discussions on this show about the Electoral College. Excuse me, and I don't really care about the word college. You have electors. That's all part of the Constitution. There are electors. And here's, again, I'm leaving this for Nathan to go over the biggest part of it. We've had many discussions. You have the same amount of electors as you do representatives to the House of Representatives. So that all right. You have the same number of electors. The question is how these electors are selected and what they're supposed to do, what they're right to do. And the electors are for the presidential and vice presidential elections. Technically, they used to be, you elected both, and now they kind of combine them together. But the point is these electors who go and vote on behalf of your district or whatever in the presidential, how is that process really supposed to work? What's constitutional? What isn't? And do we rig the system again because of the two parties? Which I know is exactly what Nathan's going to explain and in many ways explain it much better than what I'm doing here when it comes to two parties, how the two parties have totally choked the system. And so these electors, they end up being either a Republican or a Democrat, and that's how they vote, and then whatever. And the whole process, and I'm going to let Nathan talk much more to it, but the process on that needs to be corrected too. Now, excuse me, Nathan will say there's no electoral college in the Constitution, and he's right, it doesn't say college, but there's electors. So I'm calling them electors. I don't care if you want to call them the college, you want to call them the group of morons, whatever you want to, but the electors. The electors that vote for the presidential and in theory, the vice president, how that process works. How are we being manipulated and blocked from the proper election of the presidency? Because I think that's a big part of this. But ultimately, it comes down to two parties have a chokehold on this system. The no-party affiliates are basically excluded. And this is my message back to Donald Trump, President Trump, you need to focus on that. Playing games and the silliness, many, many no-party affiliates, when you hear the DeSantis and whatever else, that kind of stuff, it just turns people off. I need you to be serious about this. What's happening to our country is very serious. I've loved some of the spots where you've been talking about what's happening to our country, giving us here what exactly is happening. But when you go off with stuff with DeSantis and stuff, it just doesn't help. It alienates people. It turns off people because it's hard to take you seriously when you're saying silly things like that. I need you to be serious about this and ask DeSantis to support you and be one of the generals at the state level, the colonel, whatever you want to call it, whether the admiral. Be that person in the battle to save this country. That's what you need. And the other stuff isn't helping you any. if you want to take advantage of those 50% of no party affiliates in the state of Florida and the over 50% nationwide of no party affiliates, third party voters, then you gotta change some of the rhetoric. There's no point in it. Our country's dying. It's not a joke. Our country is falling right in front of us. It's not a joke. And China is just taking over. Not a joke. And you know all this. And I truly believe that's why they're after you, because you're not bowing down to it. I don't know about DeSantis and some of the things he does. He's done a lot of good things. Some things, especially where if he's got Jeb Bush behind him, that's not good to me. If Jeb Bush, John Ellis Bush, is behind you, that's a bad thing to me. That doesn't give DeSantis credibility. You don't have to play games and call names. Just deal with the facts. And to go out there and say, well, what Rick Scott did before this and everything else, well, I'll be perfectly honest, I don't think you want to go talk about Rick Scott too much either. I never voted for Rick Scott, and I will never vote for him, never. He was part of the Florida's largest Medicare heist fraud in the country, and he was on the stand, and he took the fifth something like 50 or 60 times, whatever it was. So I don't exactly think Rick Scott's anything squeaky clean. So I wouldn't use him as what your marker is. I don't know. I mean, I hear him say a lot of things like, oh, okay, what he says up there. But if I dissect what he's really done in that U.S. Senate, I ain't going to like it. Would he have been a better president than McConnell? Probably, but not by any length. I wouldn't exactly get too excited. But almost anybody would be better than McConnell. So comparing him to McConnell doesn't do you anything either. But again, President Trump, please be serious. The bullying, the rhetoric, it just doesn't help. We need you to be serious. We need you to tell, here's what I need DeSantis to do. If we want to save our country, we need to work together. We need to clean up our elections. And Florida's elections aren't perfect either. But we need to do that. So please, please, listen. And think about the fact, saying that stuff for the MAGA group, they're not going to care. They're going to laugh. They're going to go along with it. The diehard Republicans will support you. There's that other group of uniparty out there. Don't plan on everybody in that Republican Party supporting you. You better go after those no-party affiliates and those third parties. And they're not going to want to listen to the other nonsense. They don't. I don't want to listen to it. I know they don't want to listen to it. So please, focus on the election. I probably shouldn't have said all that ranting. I have said it in the past, and I will say it again. So that is my take. Ooh, I've gone way too long. Okay, well, let's see. Nathan, are you out there? Let's get Nathan on here for him to correct me on anything I may have said wrong. And for those, if you're out there on the Internet, you can see at, Article 2, Section 1, each state shall appoint in such a manner at the legislature, therefore may direct in a number of elections equal to the whole number of senators and representatives to which the state may be entitled in the Congress, but no senator or representative or person holding an office or trust or profit under the United States shall be appointed an elector. So the elector is the key when it comes to that piece of it. And then the 24th Amendment, Section 1. The right of citizens of the United States to vote in any primary or other election for president or vice president, for electors for president or vice president, or for senator or representative in Congress, shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or any state by reason of failure to pay poll tax or other tax. So those are two really big things right there. And let's see. Nathan, are you out there? I know you're going to join me. Push that one button so I can see you out there. I know you're there somewhere. So you can get in and have your discussion here. I'm sure you want to say something. If I haven't stirred up Nathan enough for him to want to jump on. Okay, there we go. We see him. And Karen, I do see you, and I know you're going to talk about some of the Florida stuff, but we're going to have Nathan talk about his stuff. I promised Nathan this show, and he's going to discuss everything. I'm going to be quiet and just listen. It won't be easy. I'm going to be quiet and listen to the constitutional overview of what's wrong with the elections today and where we fail on it. And then after that, anybody wants to chime in with some questions, feel free to do so. And then the other is, sorry, the chat room, once again, I cannot see. If anybody's in the chat room who wants to, if you're online talking and you can see the chat room, you're more than welcome to say any questions, whatever. But I, for whatever crazy reason, this chat room still is not working for me. So here we go, and I see a couple of people with their hands up, but let's give Nathan his chance to explain. He can either agree with some of the things I've said or disagree or whatever. Nathan, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. I ain't going to disagree with anybody. All I'm going to do is do what I always do. I get my therapy, okay? And and just share what's bothering me. But let me, before we get started, I'll just talk as quick as I can and then get it over with. But I just want to tell you, it's like I can't teach you. I'm not a teacher. I can't teach you. I can only show you my experience or tell you my experience, okay? If you want to get a good picture of not just the electors and how that all that works, Mr. Tolbert did a show. It's at Blog Talk, American Freedom Watch Radio, and then type in after that the Electoral College, Dr. Charles Tolbert. He goes through the whole entire, every aspect of it, and it is so thorough. It looks, listens, it sounds like something you would hear in a university or a college lecture, but you won't, because if you did, you would get fired, because you're saying there is no, you got to get rid of this guy. He's going to divide the, he's going to mess up the two-party system. But if you want to hear what the broad picture, everything, he, you listen to that. I have sent that to constitutional teachers, lawyers, and a couple of scholars, and they all got quiet. One guy made a few remarks about he's a little bit off on some things, and I introduced him by email, and the guy backed out of it because he didn't have a case. But anyway, that there is something that is something for anybody. Now here's what I did. And this is the way I've learned this. I'm reading through the Constitution. A lot of it's over my head, and I saw this first in the 24th Amendment, the right of citizens to vote in any primary. It just gave me the right to vote in every primary. So I started asking the political nuts around me, and they go back and start talking about something in history. And I'm like, yeah, but it said this. So I just kept reading through the Constitution. And something that happened to me in 1989, I got on the phone and I called the Library of Congress. Somebody told me, you know, the Library of Congress can answer that. So I called, and the lady answered the phone, and I was telling her, you know, what my question was, how do they come up with the wording? Because I've noticed the Constitution is very consistent all the way through. And I asked him, how did they put together their amendments? Do they go back and study the situation back in history? And she goes, let me connect you to somebody. And this guy gets on, and he told me he was a lawyer. He said the Library of Congress has a team of lawyers, and whenever they need to write an amendment, they don't go back and study history or something that happened or a conversation back then. What they do is they take that amendment and they measure it to the wording of the Constitution, and they start with the preamble. And he told me something, and I struck gold on this. He told me anything you find in the Constitution, Bill of Rights and Amendment, you can find it in the preamble. Now, here's what a preamble is. You all know what a preamble is. A preamble is the beginning. It's like a thesis statement. But here's what's so magical. These guys really thought through it, and this guy explained this to me. He goes, the words in the – there's 10 subjects, 10 points, if you could say that, 10 subjects, and they can be broken down into 8 thoughts. He said, you pick – like, and my thing was the Electoral College. We, the people of the United States, okay? I went through and I found everything related to the us voting, okay, and there's something else too. This thing of this is one of the points I want to point this out. We do ordain, okay. The word ordain means to set apart. Like if a preacher's gonna, a guy's gonna give his life to preaching, and they set him apart and they pray for him, and they got to go through certain things, but he's been set apart, kind of like a police officer. He's been deputized for this purpose, okay? And whenever they ordained the Constitution, and the word constitute means to establish, one of the things they had a problem with is you got Englishmen here, and they were smart. They were we the people, and they were educated. They were not the peasants. Okay, but they also saw the need of, you know, protecting, losing the system to people that really don't know what's going on. But they staked down the preamble. And they, if you go through the Constitution just on this, and in Article 1, Article 2, Section 1, Paragraph 2 and 3, you see that same thing where there's electors mentioned and nothing about a group. And one of the things he told me is they gave us the right in the Constitution to vote in the primary, right? We get the right to vote, not in the primary, but we get to vote for who we want to represent us as congressmen. But they gave the legislature the right to pick the Senate, and they left the Constitution, the preamble. They left the preamble. They fixed it with the 17th because that was the politicians choosing who they want to work with, okay? So they fixed that. I've only seen one other inconsistency in the Constitution after that. If you look at Article 1, Section 8, 7 and 8, and for the rest of the Constitution, you see everything Congress needs to run the business of the government, the taxes, to build the roads, raise the military and fund them. They've got everything they need to run the government, but whenever they wrote the 16th Amendment, this is my opinion, they left the Constitution, and I don't think they need to have a, like with the alcohol, no alcohol, yes alcohol, okay? They amended that, okay? But on this one here, they need to just strike it down. They need to strike it down and wipe it out of there completely because they have no right to, the 16th gives them the right to make us pay for their debt, the government's debt, but they give no reason why. I understand I got to pay my taxes, so we got a military, so we got a police force, you know, so we got all these other things. We got to... But the 16th is what made America economically a socialist system. All these debt ceilings that they keep going over, and then they borrow money from somebody. Me and you got to pay for that. And what are we getting from it? Poverty. It's putting all the money to the top. So that's what I've seen in that. But the Congress and the Senate, this is what I've thought about a lot. Why does the Congress and the Senate in their races not have an electoral college to decide who's going to be in the general election? Okay, you know what? They don't need one. You know why? Because if you look across the country and at the federal level, they always fluctuate somewhere in the neighborhood of about 50-50. Might be a little bit more over in this state. It might be a little bit, you know, the Republicans are strong here. The Democrats strong there. So there's a little bit, but they fluctuate somewhere in the neighborhood of 50-50. And the reason is, I think if we did the elections with the president, we would have that same model as everybody would be, well, it wouldn't be exactly the same because there's no limit to how many people can run for president or vice president. And whenever you have, let's say we got 100 people running, and the way the Constitution reads in several places, when there's the Congress counts and certifies the vote for the president. Okay? Now, if there's a tie, Congress is the one that's going to settle that tie. They can flip coins. They can have foot races. They can draw straws, or they can have a vote. They can do – it's not clear what they have to do to be able to get that winner. But there could be 50 people and six of them or 10 of them tie, and they've got to break that tie. See what the Electoral College does? It zooms it down so that we're not messing with all these – you know, all these people, and who knows, I agree, maybe the wrong guy gets elected, the less qualified, because, you know, he just happened to have enough numbers to win. But I would have to say amend it, because that, the way it reads is the way it reads, you know. But the Article 2, Section 1 goes through it. The 12th Amendment does it again, you know, in Section – in Section 2, the second sentence points out that we the people, or those men at that time, white men that got their right on paper to be able to vote, they got the guarantee that they don't have to be a landowner or you know, they had a property owner. Or they can vote. They can vote. Of course, you know, we're talking about after the Civil War, these guys deserve something. But they get to vote for the president and the vice president. The president doesn't pick his running mate, and they get to vote for the electors of president and vice president. We see that again in the 24th. The right of citizens to vote in any primary shall not be denied. The right of citizens ever to vote in any primary, right there, that's the law of the land. Later on it says, shall not be denied or abridged by the United States, federal, or any other state. It's a condition. It says for no condition, cash, no poll tax, or any other condition. Now, a tax is a condition. When you get your house paid off, quit paying your taxes, and then one day they're going to give you an eviction notice because some guy paid your taxes and got a deed for your house. You got to keep paying taxes to call that home yours. So to say no taxes, no tax or any other, no poll tax money or any other tax means you got to be either a Republican and Democrat only. Maybe you have to have teeth here and a job, or if you can't read, you can't vote. I don't care. You get to vote. And if if there's somebody that doesn't need to be voting, which is already covered, you're a convicted felon, you can't vote. That's already covered on that part. But the thing is what we got is a two-party system. You said something about the numbers in Orange County. 40% is Democrats, 25% is Republican, and 32% is no party affiliates. And that is basically one-third of Orange County are no parties. Here's what I keep telling people. After the election, they always say, whoever won, the people have spoken. Let's get busy. I'm saying, why aren't you listening to us now? When you see that many people, that 32% can split. It's going to split the Republicans. But it doesn't really matter because the Republicans and Democrats are working together. They're one party. Obamacare can show you that. 100-0 for Obamacare after Ted Cruz's 21-hour 19-minute filibuster. And then 2 months later, he goes on to CNN, and all you got to do is type in this YouTube, Ted Cruz spars with Cuomo, Chris Cuomo, and it's a short video where they're sitting there fussing about Obamacare and how bad or how good it is. It's already cemented. It's the cement's dried, and this is why I will never vote for a Republican even if my life depended on it. The Tea Party movement in 2010 was a rejection of the Republican Party, because Obama got elected and they were moving forward and he's getting everything that he wants, and the Tea Party rose up, and then the Republicans federalized it, and they put buses, got Tea Party Express, Tea Party Patriots, Tea Party Nation. These are federal level, Republican activists at the top, career Republicans are doing these groups, and then they get on buses and they tour. And the message was no more politicians, no more lawyers. And they showed up and got on the stage and said, hold, reelect the Republicans and hold their feet to the fire. And the reason they were doing that is because one of the biggest reasons was the Obamacare, okay? Marco Rubio was one of those people that spoke against Obamacare and he voted for it, okay? We had two doctors that were running here. I spoke with both of them. They're Republicans. And Rubio won with 84% because they couldn't get any media. They couldn't get an interview in the Republican, Democrat, or Christian media. And there was no – Bud Hettinger, I still got the email. Bud Hettinger did moderated the congressional primary debate. The next morning, I sent him an email. When are we going to have the Senate race, Senate debate, primary debate? He sent back, we're working on it. Guess what? At the morning after, Rubio won with 84%. I called all of the radio stations and news stations and radios, and I said, Rubio won with 84%. Can you tell me who he won? I emailed him and left him my number. A few minutes later, this lady from WDBO, Martha, calls me up. She goes, I don't know, but I'll find out about what their names were. So she called me back in a couple minutes. She told me what their names was, and I said, well, let me ask you, why didn't we hear of them in interviews, and why wasn't there a primary debate? And she goes, huh, never thought of that. And I said, can you get me an answer? And she goes, I'll see what I can do. In other words, I'm not going to be hearing from her because she works. This is her job. She's got to do what she's told to do. Okay, No. This is why we got the Electoral College, to make sure only the Republicans and Democrats get in there, and they fight like they're cats and dogs. But guess what? Go look at their vote record and tell me if they're really fighting. There's a chance wrestling might end up being real, but this ain't real. This ain't a real fight, you know. So that's
okay.
But
I don't understand. You know, I don't understand something you just said. I'm just asking you a question for clarification.
Yeah.
Now the electors, we've seen how the Constitution allows for the electors. They're the ones that vote for the president and the vice president. Okay.
Yeah.
But we got that part. Now, when they did that, when the Constitution was written, there were no parties at the time. Washington was a
no-party
affiliate, and he warned us against the parties. So at what point, how is it, how have we allowed the states, whatever, allowed the two parties to take over all these electors?
Okay,
what is
now,
the proper way, because the electors should be,
okay, here's what, there's these electors, you could, here's the thing, I'm not crazy about history because I hear something that doesn't make sense. If you don't study history, you're bound to repeat it. Now, how can I repeat something I never knew? Okay, we go back.
I'm just reading what it says in the Constitution.
I'm
reading strictly in the Constitution.
No, I know, but we go back and we look at history, and then we, like, hey, that guy, what he said makes sense. Well, I like what he said. And we keep the debate going, and we never do get to the Constitution. And all I'm saying is let's read the Constitution and find out what it says. And one of the things I did, I only did this one time. I went through the Federalist Papers, and I wasn't happy about it because I know something. It wasn't, it was a newspaper debate for the public, but it was propaganda because the guy that wrote the Federalist paper was the same guy that wrote the Anti-Federalist paper with a ghost name, and it reminded me of Mitt Romney on Twitter. Is Mitt Romney, and he had a ghost name account called Pierre Delecto. Even if you don't agree with Mitt Romney, whenever you see the debate between these two, you're going to come down on Romney's side, and that's what they did, is they got us over here. But listen, Federalist paper 68, on the electors, and Federalist, Anti-Federalist 68, they both agree that the electors are citizens voting for their citizen peers. That's, I said candidates, but citizens voting for their peers, their citizen peers. Once you become an elector, we vote, and you become an elector, then you go vote. And when I say, Sally, why did you vote for Obama? You know, and you're going to say, because it's my vote, It's my conscience. I don't owe anybody anything. That's how it's supposed to look. If you read the 68 and anti-68 Federalist paper, and here's where we're off. I heard this guy, Larry Arnn from Hillsdale, was talking, and he referenced something in the Federalist paper, and he said the Federalist paper, he goes, that sacred document. I sent him an email and six other people around him and asked him, where can you show me anywhere where we make an oath to the Federalist Papers? And I've never gotten a response from him. So we're living what we know. We're not living what it says. And I don't know everything that it says, but I've never seen anything in Article 2, Section 1, Paragraph 2 and 3 that points to that. The 12th Amendment doesn't point to that. And the 12th repeats separate elections. The word they use in the Constitution was distinct. So it's two separate elections, and I get to vote for the elector, and then he gets to vote for the president, and then he gets to vote for the vice president.
Part that confuses me. This is the part that you and I talk about all the time when it comes to how the electors are selected, okay?
Well, it says the states are going to appoint them. I don't know what that process would be.
Yeah, each state shall
But just like if there's a tie with the president, Congress, the House, if there's a tie, then they're the ones that's going to settle the tie. They might say, hey, look, man, this guy's short and I like
that's
the tall
the
guy
because
he's handsome. That's right. You know, I just know what I'm saying is we don't know. It does not spell out what their procedure is. They could draw straws, have a foot race.
Well, that's my point.
Coin. I don't know. They have
See, and
to
I
sit
think
down
that's my point.
And
that's
think
that's
through.
What. Yeah, this is where I think the problem, if you want to call the problem of the electors, in the Electoral College, but the electors, this is the part that bugs me because this is where I think we have no control. Each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature therefore may direct a number of electors equal to the whole number of senators and representatives to which the state may be entitled in the Congress, but no senator or representative or person holding office of trust or profit under the United States shall be appointed an elector. And these electors are so critical in the presidential and vice presidential election. And yet, this is why with the two-party, this is where I take it, this is where the two-party system has been choking out the system because of they're the ones that are elected to the governorship and the Florida House and whatever else. They're the ones controlling this process. So, once again, the two-party system is choking us, as I see.
Here's the thing. If the states are going to appoint the electors, then if we, the people, have a place that we need to talk to the congressman, we need to find out what is your procedure and say, no, we don't like that. They work for us. I mean, it's just supposed to work. But we need to know that, you know, it's not like giving them a credit card and say, here, y'all go spend what you want. No, we want to know how you're doing this, because I tell you what, I can send you the list of the Electoral College in Florida and pretty much any state in this country, and you go through the names, you're going to recognize many of the names because they're ex-politicians or they're the chairman of some Republican something or another somewhere in a state or a county, in the state or the county. You'll recognize them because they're political, or maybe it's this wealthy businessman that's involved in the party, and he shows up to all the meetings, and he's at the conventions, and he's an elector. Like Bill Clinton is an elector in New York, okay? Because he can't do it while he's in office, but I don't know what the procedure would be. It's just, it'd be like saying, Sally, you need to drive to Florida, and I can't tell you which road to do. We got to figure out what road you're going to use.
And I thought, I'm trying to go back where this was, I'd have to go back and look at the Florida State Constitution, because I thought it was in there, and this is where, you know, you have the parties, of course. Parties have their representatives. You join at one point I was part of Orange County Republican Executive Committee. So you're on these, and then you get, you're one of the people that would be selected to go to be one of the electors or something. There was some crazy process like that. But I won't swear to that. I really need to pull up the Florida Constitution again on that one to see how the state of Florida, because it's at the state level, the state shall appoint. How is the state appointing? How is the state giving the control to these two parties is what it all comes down to. Because obviously, once you get that party established, once they take control, they're the ones who are appointing the others. So when is the Republican state house representative kind of thing, or the Republican governor, when are they going to go and set up a process to go and select a bunch of no party affiliates to be the electors?
I can give you something, and it might not answer all your questions, but the people are involved in this, and I heard a guy say this. He's coming from a theological point of view, and he was pointing out that in, let's see, what was it, Deuteronomy, blah, blah, blah. Let me see if I got it here someplace. In the book of Deuteronomy, I think I got it marked here, yeah. In Deuteronomy, the 17th chapter, this is crazy when I read this, chapter 17, verses 14 through 20, to the end, he said that America, when the founders came over here, they founded the government when they were put in the Constitution. And I don't know, I can't fight over this, I don't know history. He said they made this the model for putting together our document, and it makes sense, because he said if you take everything in that scripture there where it was Israel versus Egypt where they came out of slavery and place it to America versus England, America and England, you see what their qualifications are for a king. And they even got in there, the natural born citizen clause is in that part of scripture. And it goes through that the king that we appoint, he has to be a man. He has to recognize he's a man just like the rest of the people, you know? And when I read that, I said, wow, I can see it. And I can't fight over that. I don't know history that well, but it made sense, because I can see our Constitution in that portion there. But I don't know how it works out as far as on the ground when they do the elections and who the electors are going to be, and how do we break this tie. But I do know this, is the Senate is voted in by votes in, certifies. Counts and certifies the vice president. And in this last election, everybody's mad because Mike Pence didn't certify the election, you know, for him and Trump. He certified, you know what, there's nothing in there that says certify. He doesn't count or certify. The only thing it says he does is he opens the envelope, and this is what I think it looks like. When you watch one of them shows where they're doing awards on songs, or movie stars, and you hear this voice over the intercom say, and the runners up are, and they name a bunch of people, and then the guy on the stage opens the envelope and pulls it out and says the winner is Britney Spears. Okay, that's what it should look like. You know, all he can do is open that. It says it, and the vice president and the president, and it mentions it in two different places in the Constitution.
Well, the vice president is because of the way they switched some of that stuff, that's even a whole other matter. But this presidential, these electors and how these electors are appointed, this is the part that is what I have the problem with. And again, I should have done this. I studied up this a while back when it came to Florida, how they go through, what their process is for appointing these electors, and of course they can change it pretty easily whenever they feel like, pretty much. But this is where, to me, the no party affiliates have no voice. You're totally controlled by the two parties, when you have the majority of people that are not part of the two parties, there's a problem.
Well, here's what we got going on. Here's what we got going on. It's like, this is what we got. This is my example. Say this atheist joins the Baptist church, starts reading the Bible, gets real excited. He's growing like a weed. And I mean, this guy's, and he's smart. He's got a sharp mind. So what do? They give him a Sunday school class. Okay, this guy's teaching. He goes on to Bible college and seminary, and then a generation later, they do a poll and they find out that 37% of the people believe that there's really a heaven. 37 or some small number like that doesn't really believe that there's going to be any kind of punishment for, you know, bad things they do. And it's like, that's how we got here, is we're sitting around. We got white lines on the side of the road and dotted white lines down the middle. So we know where we can, what lane, how we got to get there, right? And guess what? All of a sudden, somebody decides, you know, I'm just going to drive over this lane because I need to get around this guy. I got places to go. I can cut through this way and get. And then next thing you know, we get rid of the white lines altogether, and we don't know where we're going. And I can promise you where we're going to go. We're going to go into some kind of a dictatorship.
Yep.
We got some mergers in the news right now, and you know what these mergers are, because we got the banks going down. Okay, there's problems with the banks, so people are merging, and guess what? We're going to get into deeper into UPS has already merged with a company. It makes them international. We're on a lot of other things people don't think about. The New York Stock Exchange got bought by a German firm.
Yeah, that was a biggie
back in. In 2000,
yeah.
December
most
2020.
Most people had no clue.
So we're heading there. We're heading there, and the economy's crashing, and they're purposely crashing it. And here's what I can't understand is the Republicans that want my vote is up there. The only thing they're running on is the next election. And here I'm going to give my opinion on DeSantis. I think that both parties and their media want DeSantis up there is because they know they can manage him. That Trump is the only president since Lincoln that kicked back, and he kicked back and got his way. He got things done, and no, we got to stop this guy. And this girl that's a whore, she's a prostitute, she didn't bring this stuff up when he was running in 2016 because, you know, we didn't really think he was going to win. And then whenever he got in, then all of a sudden she's got this case against him. And then she all of a sudden goes away, and now she's back up again. So you know what?
Yeah, well, it's garbage.
I don't know how she can look herself in the mirror without any shame. I prayed for her today. God opened her mind to how evil she is. This is all about money, but maybe she's having a hard time finding a job. You know, can't go get a job.
Yeah, well,
everybody be flirting with her.
I'm not going down there that topic at all. The whole point, what they're doing, well, the trying to indict him and charge him with all this crime. It's all because you're absolutely right. When it comes to the media and the political parties, I believe they would rather have Ron DeSantis as well.
Ron DeSantis has done a lot of good things,
but he's on the wrong side here, and he's aligning himself with John Ellis Bush is enough to tell me something else is wrong here. So. I don't want to go into too much of that at this point. I'm on focusing on this.
Yeah. Well,
and the other
thing
you started to mention earlier.
He doesn't know the Constitution. He's really
well.
Into
most
this
of
big,
the unfortunately, I would love to give a test to everybody in Congress who has the Constitution and see how well they do.
Well,
or the Declaration of Independence. They don't know that either.
Part of one of our problems is, I said, part of one of our problems is. He's really big in the congressional districts. He's got a lot of Democrats mad at him because he's doing some districting and redistricting, and he's making people, Democrats, mad, making a lot of black people mad. But here's the thing. There's no districts in the Constitution. The Congress people represent the population, not sections of the state. They could all be roommates in the same house right here in Orlando and go to Washington and bring the money back to the state so that it's not about my district needs a bridge, but that guy's district doesn't get it. And that thing what they call systemic systemic racial policy or social, moral, or any other thing you can think of. It separates people over here, and it also allows the parties, they did this with Alan West, all they got to do to get rid of him is redistrict him, and then the Democrat wins. So, you know, they're out there. We got to find out what the Constitution says and live by it, or you know what? We're going to die by it. And we're real close to that. We got China Russia meeting.
We're in a bad shape. That's why Trump focuses.
Well, China
okay.
and Russia
hold on
meeting
on that.
Together.
Oh, hold on, hold on. You mentioned the natural-born citizenship. I want to make sure I get that out there. And then I know Karen's out there, and I think that's Sarge out there waiting, too, and a couple others. So let's see if we can't get some calls in here in a minute. But the natural-born citizenship thing, because you mentioned it, and I actually meant to mention it earlier. The way it all started, it was both parents had to be citizens of this country, and then you were considered a natural born. Right now, they've watered this down. They try to say if you're born on the soil, being born on the soil means you're a citizen, but it doesn't mean you're a natural born. Which is the case with Rubio.
Yeah.
His parents were here in Florida legally, but they were not American citizens when he was born. He was a citizen because he was born on soil, but they were not. So he was not a natural born citizen, and he is not eligible to be the president. And so we've got a lot of mess going on when it comes to this natural born citizenship thing, which to me is very important. I really don't think Putin should be allowed to come over here and have some kids and call them Americans and have them run for the presidency, which is kind of what happened with Obama, if you think about it, because he wasn't really natural born.
That was another thing I had a problem with the Republicans is everybody was screaming that. And I remember Amy Kramer, when they were having a presidential debate, she's out there in California, and if CNN says, what do you think about Obama being not being a natural born citizen? She goes, no, he was born in Hawaii, you know, and like you have no idea, lady. You know that you got a job because you said that. But on the natural born citizen, it's funny, and I'm amazed by this. But on that Deuteronomy, it says that somebody coming from the other country back to this country cannot be the king. His son can be the king, but he can't, because you don't want the enemy to come back, come over here, run for president, and then overthrow our country. And that was the purpose of it.
Yeah.
And
exactly. That was the – and then that puts Nikki Haley, she's out of it because she's not a natural-born citizen either. And there's a lot of stuff going on when it comes to that one, and we need to find it. We need to think about what it really means, because most people don't really understand what the whole point was. And, I mean, especially in a new country, of course, the people who were there who were the founders, they were grandfathered in because many of them weren't from here kind of thing. But after that, you have to protect the loyalty. How can you be loyal to this country if you were born and raised, or your family was raised in another culture, and they may have divided loyalties? Let Karen get in here.
Let me finish up one
thought.
Yeah, let me finish this thought up. England sent a political party over here, and it was called the Whig Party. Okay, Lincoln won. There was only a small handful of people. They weren't even in all the states. But the Whig Party was over, and they disbanded, and they flooded the Republican Party like a band of demons. This is who we got today, is the Whig Party.
Yep, and I see a lot of truth in that, too, this is exactly what happened. The Communist Party taking over the Democrats, which the Democrat was halfway there anyway, and then the Democrats taking over the Republican Party. It's that we got to get rid of the parties. So if you want to be part of some entity, group out there, go do it, but take it off of my ballot. My ballot should not be controlled by those – my right to that ballot should not be controlled by those people. Okay, we're going to get Karen in here and see if she's got any questions or comments, then we're – like I say, I think that's Sarge out there, and then I think I saw a few other hands up, but we'll start there and see what everybody else has to say. And then remember, everybody, we got about 40 minutes on the regular time. I'm expecting the show to run a little bit over because of this topic. And if you want to continue listening, make sure you call in to listen. Hey, Karen, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, and what an incredible explanation, Nathan. Thank you. That was really very good. I took lots of notes, so.
Oh, bless you. Bless you. You know, you don't know. I'm going to have a religious experience. I really am, because when I get judged by a teacher, and because I'm not a, I'm barely a student, that really does say something for me.
Oh, well, the thing that is, you have now laid out the history, Constitution. Sally said they don't read it. So we have a problem, because unless we have a group of people who have and are under the jurisdiction of the United States and are natural-born citizens, we have allowed other groups who do not have allegiance to America to join and become part of our Congress, which should never happen. They should not be able to go any further. And making laws, well, that's unfortunately up to the people who elected them. But I think there has been too much hidden and too many lies for the people now to even understand what's going on. So that's where I come in, because take everything that you said, and the last thing you said was that the country is in chaos and the country is a mess and we're falling apart, and everybody knows that. But nobody says why and how to fix it. And if you don't recognize who your enemy is, you can't fight them. And our
Sherry, can
enemy
I say something?
Can
I say something real corny?
And the elite who are hell-bent to destroy America. So to them, what's happening right now is successful. They're on a roll. They're transforming America, just like Obama said. They're changing.
And all we're doing is, we're just herded back in with the same old stuff.
These two told the rest of the world what was going on behind the scenes.
Yes.
And what was going on behind the scenes, if you read any of the Chinese literature, you know that they're on a 100-year mission to take over the United States. And they're doing a very good job of it. So all the things that we're experiencing now are happening because they want them to happen. If we have chaos, if we have all of these crises and everything is ruled by crisis, then, they get to call a national emergency and suspend the Constitution that they don't follow anyway. But because it's a national emergency, we wouldn't really be able to say, no, you can't do that.
Yeah.
So this is a group of people, and they're not as big. See, that's the other thing. People don't realize we are the bigger group. If you took the independents and put them together with the people from both parties that don't vote along party lines, you'll find that we're a much bigger group.
Yes.
The problem is they don't want us to know that. So
you know
they
what?
Keep
I would like
trying to you profess that they are in the majority, and they're not. So we have to stand up. And
you
don't.
If you believe them, you'll vote with them. If you believe them,
you
think I got
to
vote with
them. We have to stand up for what's going on. We have to stand up for our rights, because they're not going to give them to us. I mean, what is wrong with, I'll give you a silly small example. We have black entertainment television, black whatever, all different types of black shows, black. Where are the white shows? I mean, this is stupid. They should be American shows. So we should, we have to start joining together and using the Constitution as a basis of this is what we all should be following. But, and here's the but, most of the people can't read. Most of the people don't understand the Constitution or what it is, and they don't even know what a Constitution is. So that's another thing we have to address and recognize. And right now, we, I believe, are the ones who are the teachers who are filling in the gaps for these kids that have no idea of what America is and what America is about and how, you know, how America works. It was very interesting. I was looking at my college catalog, and I'm looking at it and I'm saying I wouldn't have a job because there's no government classes. They teach America. I asked, when do they learn about the government, how the government works? Oh, well, they teach American history. Okay, that's American history.
Oh, yeah. That's our experience.
And right.
Again, like,
so
this is why I'm
this
saying.
This is the problem. If we were able to, if I could wave my magic wand and get the Constitution as the curricula and all of our founding documents, the Ten Commandments, as our curricula, and taught the kids how to read, write, and do math, nobody would be able to pull this off on us because we'd
this
be brilliant.
Is,
yeah. And that's
exactly. Karen, this is one reason why I've tried to keep from looking at history, because the Constitution was supposed to produce our experience. And here's something I've noticed about the Constitution, too. If you read the preamble of the Constitution, it gets more shorter and simpler throughout the next document. And this is what I see it as. An example, you say a guy gets married, makes his vows to his wife, they make vows to each other, and then after they're married, he's talking to some lady, and they go and have lunch, and they talk politics or whatever. Nothing happens, but his wife is hurt by it. So he sees how bad he hurt it. So he says, look, on my first anniversary, I'm going to renew my vows, but I'm going to go a step further. I'm not going to say I'm going to love and cherish no one but you. He goes to the point and gives examples. I'm not going to meet with a woman unless there's other people present. And to my friends that are sitting in here rejoicing with us, if you see me talking to somebody and you don't know, it doesn't, like, you confront me. And that's what I see the Constitution is in the beginning. It's long, and then it gets shorter and shorter, but more specific in the next document. And I don't know. I know this is, you know, but here's the thing I would love, and I know this is just dreaming. I would love for Trump to hear a message like this and get in front of a group of people in a stadium and make the statement, you know, there is no two-party system in the country. There ain't even any electoral college. Open primaries is the last. If he could say that, because I'm down here just wrestling with one mind at a time. May God have mercy on us and let him hear, not this, but hear this conversation in other places, because it is out there. It's just not on mainstream.
And, let me throw something in there at the same time. That's why I was stressing so much in the beginning. My message to, it's really to Trump and to DeSantis, but Trump, DeSantis should not be running for the presidency. That's my own opinion, whatever. So I'm not going to focus there. But the thing is, over 50% of the people are rejecting the two parties. And, you know, if you're going to, the no party affiliates at the end of the day are supposed to make a difference. But we've played so many games, and they can make a difference if, in fact, Trump will engage them, which the only way he's going, in my own opinion, the only way he's going to engage these people is to stop with the nonsense, stop with the rhetoric, the name-calling. It doesn't serve any purpose. And, you know, there's a few jokes here and there. Okay, fine. Get past it. We've covered that stuff. We got to get down to business. This is serious stuff. We got two other callers out there waiting to join in. Yeah.
Keep thinking.
Go ahead.
Just keep thinking.
Yeah. Exactly. You've got to remind people, over half of the American voters out there don't want anything to do with the parties, and I believe those people are some of the strongest patriots out there because they reject the two-party system. They're sick of it.
And if
they want their country back.
If those people ended up listening to this show tonight, the country would catch on fire tomorrow. They would jump up, and it would be completely different because – you know, if you listen to talk radio right now, it's all set up so that there's not a lot of callers calling in. The ones do is they agree with them, but there's no debate. The message is already in, and we got to sit and listen to them and think that this is the way it is. So, go with your next callers.
Yeah. Okay. And Karen, hang on, because we're gonna, like I say, we're gonna run over tonight. I know I totally planned for this call to go a little bit late tonight. because there's a lot to talk about here. And this really, truly is important stuff. We have got to face who we are and why if we're going to save this country. It just, we are in bad shape. And why are we in bad shape? It's because of the representation, how we've allowed our own country to be taken over. And that's why we've got to set the stuff right. Okay, I'm guessing this is Sarge. Sarge, is that you or somebody else?
Attention.
I certainly hope it is because, man, I've been brought to attention tonight, and I don't know if I can go back to at ease.
No, I'm the one that went to attention.
That's what I'm trying to say. I mean, I don't have much to say after your bravura discourse, man. What am I supposed to say now? But I'm going to try to say something because you covered much of it, even though I don't agree with everything, but just about most of it, yeah, you pretty much nailed it. But, look, I'd like to go in a little bit with the easy stuff first, okay, with your questions about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 questions. I'd like to go with the easy ones first. The poll tax kind of settled by the 24th Amendment, and the 24th Amendment says quite clearly, the right of citizens of the United States to vote in any primary or other election for president or vice president, for electors for president or vice president, or for senator or representative in Congress, shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or any state by reason of failure to pay any poll tax or other tax. Section 2, the Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. So I guess that's pretty much settled. If you remember when we had that discussion about the Battle of Athens, even the white citizens had to pay a poll tax. So it wasn't just, they did do it a bit more discriminatory with regard to black citizens, but even the white citizens had to pay poll tax in many of these states where the poll tax was deemed a requirement. So
I don't know history. I don't know history, but this is how I assume it. You got to be a landowner, but then after the war, it's like these men, they fought, you got the right, make an amendment, or not make an amendment, secure what you already got in writing. And then the black men got the right to vote, but the women, the black women, was just like the white women. They didn't get the vote, and it was along with poor, being poor and woman, you know. So the thing is, here's the thing. From the beginning, we all had the same rights, the equal rights, and guess what? That's divided us. It's made poor people not like rich people. It's made black people, you know, not want to be around white people, and vice versa. And so the thing is we got God-given rights that that's been squelched. And it was the poll tax, that was about mainly it was the black issue back in the 60s. But still, it doesn't matter if it was black or white. That's all of our rights. And I shouldn't be sitting here watching you not be able to do something that I can. I should be saying no with a conscience. This is not fair. But we get complacent. We're like, hey, I got my vote. Let him worry about it, you know?
Universally transcended objective principles. A lot of people don't see it if they can't particularize it to their own situation and not realize that it's important that it be as objectively applied as possible. That's, I think, a great deal of the problem we're having today with the rule of law in this country, and particularly the Constitution. The Constitution is literally one of the most neutral documents I've ever read in my life. I mean, it's not supposed to favor anybody that is similarly situated as someone else. So, I mean, it's pretty clear. But the trouble is the subjective nature of human nature. And when you're talking about the natural-born citizen requirement, well, look, the problem with the Constitution in regard to this is Article 2 does not define natural-born citizen. And that lends to all kind of modern-day sophistry. But you'd better believe that at the time it was written, I think they pretty much took it for granted what a natural-born citizen was, because if you notice in Article 1, Section 8, they say it says support for the law of nations. And you notice it's capitalized. The law of nations was the treatise on international law. And many of the definitions in the Constitution they looked to the law of nations written by Emmerich de Battelle to get the definitions for many of the provisions that are in the Constitution. And the natural-born citizen requirements laid out in Emmerich de Battelle, which pretty much every nation that had diplomatic relations with any other agreed was a natural-born citizen was a person who had two, counting two, citizen parents at the time they were born and was born on the soil of the nation. That's what the founding generation Supreme Court justices, men who fought in the Revolution, who in the Revolutionary War, one of them, Justice Livingston, writing for the majority from the founding generation, said a natural-born citizen met the definition in—no, they didn't say he met it. They just quoted the entire 212th paragraph from Emmerich D. Vattel's Law of Nations to define what a natural-born citizen was. And we and look elsewhere for the definition. We have to look at what John Marshall wrote when he wrote to George Washington on the definition of natural-born citizen when the issue was being decided for Congress. You know, the office of president shall devolve upon none but a natural-born citizen. I mean, everybody understood what it was, and it sounded like they understood what the word vote meant. They didn't define what voting meant either. There's only one definition in the United States Constitution. That's for treason. There was an understanding as to what these words meant at the time in the founding. Now we've got all this modern-day sophistry that just gets in the way of the understanding of the framers of the Constitution. And by the way, it was reinforced as recently as 1868 in a debate
on
the 14th.
So they know what it means.
In 1866, rather. It was reinforced. Yeah, it was reinforced by what Senators Bingham and Congressman Trumbull, I might get the opposites reversed, but what they said about who this citizen was intended to cover. And they defined a natural-born citizen in the debates over the 14th Amendment as recently as 1866. During the debates, by the framers of the 14th Amendment, it was clear that it meant that someone who was born under the auspices of the 14th Amendment would be a natural-born citizen under Article 2. I mean, they expressly said it. But like I said, today...
Well, today, we got the whole deal, like Rubio and Cruz both ran... And they're not natural born citizens, but you know if you ask,
Rubio is closer to it than Ted Cruz was. Ted Cruz was literally a statute citizen under the Immigration and Naturalization Act. He wasn't even born in the country.
Yeah,
he was literally a statute citizen. He would not have been a citizen before 1953.
But because we've been doing what we've been doing and not saying what does the Constitution say. Whenever somebody says, well, what about Obama? And I remember that the morning after he got elected, I still got the copy of it, this talk show in New York, the ambassador from Kenya called into the show, and they were asking him how he felt about Obama winning, and they're really excited. And he started talking about that they already got plans to build a monument in front of the hospital back in Kenya where he was born.
Yep, I remember that.
Yeah, and you're sitting here telling me, sitting there telling these people, no, he was born in Hawaii. And it's like, come on, man, we're not really taking this, the rule that is supposed to be the rule of the law serious, you know. And
again, it wouldn't even matter if he was born in Hawaii. It wouldn't matter if he was born in Hawaii because his father was not a citizen. I mean, Kamala Harris was born in Sacramento or Oakland.
Correct.
That's pretty clear. That I mean, there's no doubt that she was. Her parents were lawfully resident in the country under Wong Kim Ark. That's clear, too. There's no doubt that she's a citizen by virtue of the 14th Amendment, but she cannot, under any reasonable rubric, be considered an Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5, natural-born citizen. But here we are. You better not mention it. You better not say it, or you're a bigot, or a racist, or you don't like immigrants, or some nonsense, because, by the way, Donald Trump Jr. isn't a natural-born citizen either because his mother was a Czech national when he was born. So it's got nothing to do with race. Nothing.
There is no law. There is no law.
But, you know, but like I said, we got no law today with regard to this. Can't get the matter heard in the court. Everybody's told they don't have standing or some nonsense like that. So here we are. And now we've established a president of two members elected to the to the executive branch. And by the way, Chester Arthur was another one. Only nobody raised a controversy about him. Chester Arthur's father was a Scot. He had never been naturalized when Chester Arthur was born. So he again was not a natural-born citizen, but they let him in, but there was no controversy. There was a controversy with Obama and a controversy with Harris, and it's just been totally ignored. So now we got the precedent set by default and the refusal of courts to hear the matter, even have it argued. So here we are. Now what are they going to do, go back and undo every action by the president, presidents or vice presidents who weren't natural-born citizens and were exercising the powers of the office? I mean, it'd be an unbelievable mess to untangle, but I wish to God they'd just go ahead and do it and let the chips, damn it, fall.
So,
I'm getting sick of this.
Well, here's what we need to do is just say, hey, look, this is just an example. You caught me in 10 lies. So what we're going to say is, okay, I tell you what, I admit I lied. Okay, from this point forward, I'm going to start being honest and tell you the whole story and not try to wiggle out of something. You know, and I actually feel pretty good that I'm not deceiving people. I start getting, you know, I feel proud of myself, and other people are, you know, they trust me. And that's what we need to do. We don't need to amend the Constitution. We just need to listen. Let's just do what it says. But you
right.
can't do it with the same people we got up there.
I mean, but you have to ask. See, this is what is never asked with regard to talking about natural-born citizens. What was the purpose? Why did the framers want to specify that the person who be elected president be a natural-born citizen? And there's another uncomfortable truth that is rooted in today's modern understanding, sophistries, and modern-day deceits of progressivism. One of them, I believe, absolutely, is feminism, because the framers of the Constitution were patriarchs, whether we like it or not, overwhelmingly they were, and they believed that the citizenship of the child follows the citizenship of the father. And what they did not want was undue influence upon the office of the President of the United States, particularly from a father who owed allegiance to a foreign sovereign. That was a big deal at the time. We're not looking at it through the eyes of the 18th century. We're looking at these modern-day eyes, and there's been no amendments or modifications to Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5 since it was written and ratified in 1787. And that's the problem. That's the problem. Because remember, that came before all the amendments to the Constitution. Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5 was there originally at the ratification of 1787. There have been no constitutional amendments that have referred to it or modified it in any way since then. So whatever the understanding was in 1787 is still the understanding today. Without amendment, it cannot be changed. So that's why we have to keep looking around for what natural-born citizen was in the context of the time it was written and in the context of what the framers clearly must have wanted when they wrote it that way.
Well, the way it works today
and,
is if I can get across the border
hold on
and
a second,
have my
Nathan.
Baby in America.
That's the whole problem. The citizenship should mean something. This is the other part. But this is all part of, if you want to call it, the massive affirmative action program, whatever you want to call it. We say, well, wait a minute, this is the land of opportunity. Everybody can come, just like what's happening right now. This craziness to say that everybody in the world can come in here.
Yes.
Citizenship should mean something, and you should have a loyalty to this country. Do we really think the people coming over that border have any loyalty or allegiance to this country?
Well, you know
they
what?
Don't.
It would be
and
different
that's
if
exactly
these
what
people
it was about.
That are allowing...
I want to get Karen to chime in on this in just a minute. But anyway, that's the whole point, the games they play. And but it's all part of the plan. It's like, well, we're going to guilt them into it. It's almost like, in a sense, it's a guilt trip. Well, wait a minute. You said you believe in everything. Everybody's equal. You're as an American. You have equal rights as an American. We do not grant the American rights to the people all over this world. It's not the same. And this is how we get manipulated and brainwashed, and how the brainwashing and propaganda has gone on over the years. But it's all part of the plan. We have to face the fact, how do they take over a culture? This whole country is being taken over. Who knows, it may be two-thirds of the way taken over today, because we stood there and opened the door. Come on in, China. Yeah, you can own all of our farmland. Sure. You can own all of our energy. Sure. I mean, it's just insanity. And next thing you know, we're going to have a Chinese Communist Party president at the rate we're going, because we say it means nothing. It's insane. That's what it is. Now, Karen, you haven't had a chance to chime in here lately, so I want to give you another chance to jump in.
Oh, thank you. I was just thinking that part of our problem is we're allowing them to call us these words. Nobody challenges them. Instead, we cower and we say, oh, I'm not going to say that word because they're going to call me a racist. Go ahead, call me a racist. And then I'm going to ask you to prove it and show me where. And you're not going to be able to say anything, so you're going to yell and scream, and that's the way it's going to be. But if we don't challenge them, who cares? What's the difference? They will walk all over us, which is exactly what they're doing now. They are not Americans. These people are globalists. They have houses all over the world. If an American city burns, they'll go to a city in another country. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. And their goal is to steal everything we have. And that's what they're doing, and we're allowing them to do it. It is shocking to see that maybe McCarthy had a come-to-Jesus moment and is doing the right thing. And Jim Jordan sent a letter to Alan Bragg and said, as far as, you know, you have to come to Congress and show all of the correspondence of how you're going after Trump. Because this is not about Trump. Trump is the figurehead. This is about how to squash the American middle class, because you can't have a middle class for another country to look at and say, oh, I want to own something like an American. Because remember, Klaus Schwab said, you will own nothing and be happy. And this is part of, if they flatten everything, if they burn everything, what's left? Nothing. And this is their goal. And people who have nothing, who they are bringing in from third world countries, want everything. And they're the government. So they will take it from us, like they are doing with the bank. And you're going to see more banks failing. Why? Because they are going to be using our money, yours and mine, to give to the banks, to give to their depositors, many of which are multi-millionaires and billionaires and communist countries. But then I go and I look at what is my favorite document, the 45 Goals of Communism. Was this a goal? Oh, let me see. What does it say? It says, number 14, continue giving Russia access to the U.S. Patent Office. Oh, check that one off. That was good. Capture, number 15, capture one or both of the political parties in the United States. Oh, check that one off. That's really good, yes. Number 12, resist any attempt to outlaw the Communist Party. And it goes on and on and on of all the things they're doing. But if nobody reads it, does it matter? They are telling us what they're going to do to us, and we're ignoring them.
Karen, there was
bad. I believe we must get back to demanding that the Constitution be followed, and it doesn't matter which party. Merrick Garland belongs hanging from a tree, and if you're listening, that's what I said. You can call me any name you want. I don't care. But he belongs to be hanging from a tree with what he is doing. But this is the tactic of all communist countries. They all get taken over the same way. And you can go online and look at the history of Argentina, because that's what's coming next. And by the way, inflation in Argentina is now at 100%. So this is what we have to look forward to.
Karen.
If we refuse to recognize what's happening, and that's what we're doing.
Karen, I've often said since the beginning of America, and I'm not a historian, but this is my thoughts on it, since the beginning of America, the only two chances the citizens had to take America back, one was in 2010, but they lost it when the Republicans hijacked the Tea Party. And then the other one was when that plane that was meant for the Capitol crashed in the Pennsylvania field. If that would have crashed in the Congress, we would be sending people to Congress that's never been in politics before but got real life experience. And my only other guess is to reach people's minds with the Constitution, and that's why I would love for Trump to say something like what we're saying tonight, because I think he's got an audience that would say, wait a minute, let me go look at the Constitution. I didn't know that
that's
was in there
needed.
Or not in there.
This was the first Congress, I think, in 50 years, McCarthy read the Constitution the first day of Congress. Imagine you have Congress people, what, 205 of them that have no idea what's in the Constitution, have no idea what they're giving up, have no idea what they're giving away, and really don't care because they're not taught to care. And
they
like
confirm the
said,
judge doesn't even know what Article 2
of
is,
affirmative
for God's
action.
Sake.
And now we're going to have the DIE, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And that's the fight. The fight is that, and the fight is digital currency. And if we allow them to control us, they will control us. This is a group of people, if you give them a pinky, they will take your arm. You can't give them anything. They are never, ever going to stop. They are continuous, and whatever you give them is never enough. You have to remember that.
Oh, we'll never forget it.
Okay.
I'm telling you, they
okay,
well,
let
like
me, hold on a second there. I want to chime in. Dr. Tolbert sent me some things. I thought Dr. Tolbert had been listening out there, but he never chimed in. And Rosie the Rebel had been there, but looks like she's had to drop. Hopefully she'll be able to call back in. And call back in soon here. Anyway, just which I actually was going to mention this earlier too, but and we'll have a show on this because I think it's going to be really relevant to what's going on now. Not to forget about the states are not corporations. However, the 1871 Constitution was amended to make the U.S. corporation thing. We've talked about that in the past, and we will definitely talk about that more in the future. But keep that one in mind as we go through this. And anything to do with the U.S. corporation. But then the other one, let's see, there was, okay, corporation position of the Queen of England, and only 18 rights of Congress. The U.S. Supreme Court has held that the Constitution does not require the electors be completely free to act as they choose, and therefore political parties may extract pledges from the electors to vote for the party nominee. Some states provide that so-called faithless elections may be run. A little bit more to that one. That goes back to what I was
show
saying.
Me,
that's why I'm going to follow
show
up.
Me.
I'm going to check on Florida law about the
show
how
it to
the electors.
Me. I don't,
hold on a second.
Okay, but is the law, ask the question, is the law the higher standard or is the Constitution the higher standard?
Well, but this is how the stuff gets manipulated and twisted. Let me read this one more time, what he put in here. The U.S. Supreme Court has held that the Constitution, remember, they're supposed to be interpreting the Constitution, that's another story, does not require that electors be completely free to act as they choose, and therefore political parties may extract pledges from electors to vote for the party's nominee. Some state laws provide that the so-called faithless electors may be subject to fines or may be disqualified for casting an invalid vote, I think that's Florida, invalid vote, and be replaced by a substitute elector. The Supreme Court decided in 2020 that states can enact requirements on how electors vote. No elector has ever been prosecuted for failing to vote as pledged. However, several electors were disqualified and replaced by others and fined in 2016 for failing to vote with the pledges. But this goes back to the role of the electors and what's at the state level, how your state is manipulating by the two.
Well,
if
the judges have a Republican-Democrat paradigm, it's like that atheist that joined the church. Okay, a lot of people don't believe what the church teaches because he's a great thinker and he's communicating what – it's like that. Like I said, they had common law in their mind. Madison and Mulberry Madison, whenever the judges ruled for Mulberry, Madison, oh, man, this is bull crap. No. He's supposed to say send it back to Congress and let Congress either – enforce it or revise it or you know, delete it completely. But they, the judges don't make the rules. The only thing they get, the judges are supposed to do in Article 3 is look to the Constitution and the law. They're doing the same thing they would do if they're crossing a highway. You got to look to make a judgment that there ain't no bus coming. That's all they're doing is making a judgment. They don't make the law. They don't say that. But we've been taught the two-party paradigm. If the judge has said it, well, guess what? It's the law of the land. You know, and I'd like to ask them, where do you show me that in the scripture? Or in the Constitution. It's not there. All they do, Article 3 says they look to the Constitution and the law. And all law, Article 1, Section 1, all law will originate in the Congress and the Senate. So if it's a bad law, let them strike it down or revise it or whatever. Or if it's a good law, say, nope, it's the Congress shall enforce this with appropriate legislation. And if it's already a good legislation, enforce it. If not, change it, fix it, or either make an amendment against it. So we're not reading. That's why the two-party paradigm, you know. They had the old way from England still in their minds. And we're living that.
Okay, I'm looking a little bit here on the Florida one. In Florida, the process starts with the joint candidates for president and vice president or their political party, whichever is applicable. Just or their political party, whichever is applicable.
Okay, the judge just
presidential
left.
Electorate, anyway.
He just violated his oath.
But the point is,
hold
on 1 second. The point is here, at the state level, we need to clean up what the state is doing with these electors, because this is and it's all comes down to these two parties controlling the elections and choking the system. The no party affiliates are not allowed to participate, and there should be so many no party affiliates.
Here's something I've done for several elections, Sally. Several elections, every primary, I sit down and I write a letter showing how the state has violated my right, and I go through different things in the Constitution, how I have the right to vote in any primary, and the state has denied me that. I send a copy to the Division of Elections. I send a copy to the governor, and I've done it for several governors now. And in this last time, in this last election, when I sent that letter to him, the next morning I got a letter, an email of a picture of my letter, and a certified letter, a certified envelope that Mr. Tolbert mailed it to the Supreme Court. And a few days later, he sends me back his signed receipt. They've got it. So 100 years from now, somebody's going to be going through the archives, and they're going to say, hey, man, here's one guy that read his Constitution. I mean, it ain't going to go anywhere, but thank God for Mr. Tolbert.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sarge, did you want to chime in? You haven't had a chance in a few minutes.
I think we're hitting on all cylinders. They're getting to the nub of the problem. The problem is getting these corrupt imperators who have all this authority to make these decisions to realize they're supposed to step out of sight of their own preferences and their own desires and wants, and not interpret the Constitution, but apply the Constitution as it lies. You know, like if you're playing golf, you play the ball where it lies. Or, you know, if you're a line judge, you're supposed to play where the football comes down when a guy is tackled. That's what you're supposed to do. But no, they see, I think many of them see their duty to make the world a better place or something according to their own lights, rather than allowing that process to come through the people by dint of their legislative and executive branches. It's kind of hard to explain people with a messianic complex that they're not actually Jesus Christ come back to earth. It's really hard when you get that kind of authority and power for a lot of people, to say nothing of all the precedents that have already been established, that you're actually limited. The Constitution is actually not a grant of power and authority, it's a limit on it. Because if the purpose is to have ever-expansive power, then you wouldn't want to have a constitution. You just put it in whatever entity you want to have arbitrary powers to expand the government will whenever you feel like it, or the dictator. That's what you'd have instead of a constitutional republic. We were supposed to have with enumerated powers. I mean, I know this seems like overly simplistic to say is what the part of the problem is, but for many of these people, it really is. They will tell you they're going into, like, they're going to journalism. These judges are going into the judiciary to make the world a better place. And that it means according to their lights is what they think is a better place, rather than the people through their legislative wills expressed through their representatives in the legislatures of the states and the Congress, the House of Representatives and the Senate. So, I mean, I don't know what it's going to take to get this clarified or make people understand that we got to stop listening to these people who present themselves as these preeminent authorities that are know-it-alls and know-everything, and they're like some kind of priests that have to interpret the Constitution for us, you know, before the Lutheran Reformation or something. I mean, come on. We really are not supposed to have that here, but it's what we have constantly. Listen to the experts. Well, where did the experts get us with COVID? What do they do? All these experts, all these degrees, and many of them who made policy were wrong.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've got to get back to where we're supposed to be. We have fallen so far off the track. It's just unbelievable, and but it's all part of the plan. We've been so generous in many ways. Some, and you know what? Just reminding anybody that's listening out there, citizenship is not a spectator sport. You got to get involved, and I mean the frustration I deal with at times when people who complain, well, they won't do anything to get engaged in. And make a difference. And it's like, but you're part of the problem. You're either part of the problem or part of the solution. And you're mad about this, but I mean, I send stuff out all the time, as many of you know. And as some of it, like today, I sent out an email today to my elected, that includes my U.S. Representative and senator, my governor, my state senator and representative, and then my commissioner. And I'm asking them the question. Do you agree with what has happened with Trump and this indictment and all this other stuff? Are you in support of what has happened? Do you agree with it? And then the second question is, second part of that, what are you doing to support your position? Okay, and the same thing when it comes to the Jan Sixers. Do you agree with the treatment of the January 6th people? And then the second question, second part, what actions are you taking to support your position? Not likely, but I won't get an answer from any of them. But you know what? It really isn't, you know, if they have any, and I did put down, would you please show some courage and leadership and answer these questions? Because if this is acceptable, if either of these are acceptable, then America has already fallen. We've already fallen to a police state to allow this to happen and to say it's okay. And that's the basics. So I sent that, and I copied a bunch of people. Now, I know there's a small handful of those people who will go and send something on their own. They'll either, not that they're going to use what I say, but take, you know, yes, contact these people and say, what is being done to Trump with this insanity of this indictment and everything else? Understand who they're really going after. And I think Trump is totally right. They're not going after him. They're going after us because Trump was out there defending us. I would hate to truly think where we would be on this globalist insanity out there right now had he not been elected in 2016. I really don't know. I don't know how much closer we would be there. The sad part is, or I should, another piece of this, say it had been good old Hillary who had got elected back then, they would have continued on this path, but a lot of people wouldn't have even known it was hitting them. They would have had no clue that they were, while the digital currency sounds so neat and everything else, but he went in there and he started challenging what was happening and calling out the stuff, and they had to stop him. They were going to stop him no matter what. Event 201, where they showed the plan. Here's how we're going to have a worldwide pandemic and how we're going to take over the country, or over the world, really. But they have to take over America first. It's all part of the plan. And I'm telling you, I don't. If it had been anybody else, of course, Hillary is part of it. You know, she was a Saul Alinsky girl. That's what she believes in. She had been going down the same path. Had it been a different Republican, it would have been pretty much the same thing. Maybe a little bit bumpier ride to it, but it would have been the same. Because there's so many globalists, Marxist, communists, it's a uniparty routine. Would have happened. So I really do try to step back. And while Trump drives me crazy on some of the stuff he does, I truly believe he put the brakes on so much of this stuff, and so many people were totally clueless. So many people had no idea what Agenda 21 is or Agenda 2030, didn't appreciate what Common Core really was, what the indoctrination that's going on in those schools. It's very strange, and, you know, some weird divine intervention that's happening here, I don't know, but for Trump to have got elected, it was definitely, wait a minute, we might have a chance here. Someone's going to do something different here. And then the COVID thing, while COVID was obviously, COVID is what defeated Trump. And he really does need to talk about the truth about COVID. So COVID, they did that to totally derail his election, a re-election. They came, and he was getting past it. He was really, truly getting past it. But then they tried to make it even worse. They kept, you know, everything they did and the games that got played and, of course, the manipulation of the election because of COVID. And he said back then, you cannot go and have all these paper ballots. He said it. The election will be corrupted. Yes. They were already corrupting it behind the scenes with the machines kind of stuff. I mean, if anybody is paying any attention, doesn't put all these pieces together, you're definitely not a critical thinker, which you weren't probably taught to be. But the whole point is to destroy this country. And, I mean, I go back time and time again, had it not been Trump in there, what would have happened? Where would we be today had it not been Trump? And how many people
That's
would still
why they're
be
trying to get him out
sleeping
of there.
And not even know? Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's why they got to keep him. That's why they got to keep him away, because he's the only one.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I like DeSantis. Okay, but DeSantis just doesn't have what it takes. He's going to compromise. They're going to beat him.
I have a question.
And
you could ask a vetting, ask a new candidate. That I would ask a new candidate. Do you believe that the 2020 election was stolen? If they say no, I don't, then why would you vote for them? And they will lose the MAGA crowd. If they say yes, I do, then how could you run against Trump, because he was really the president? So they're stuck.
Exactly.
Yeah, but here's the thing we got. We got people will say what it takes to win your heart. I get a kick out of these Christian leaders that you know, they voted for, you know, they vote, they say, they get up there and they run, they endorse some guy because he's saying he's against abortion, and he's got an abortion record. I called Jim Daly about this today. I called his office and talked to his aide, because he was doing this thing with what's that lady, Abby Johnson, doing an interview with her on another book she just wrote, and they're talking about how important it is today. And I can send you a list. I'll send it to both of you guys tonight. I'll send you a list of all the Christian leaders who voted for Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney,
yeah.
Not only does he believe in abortion, but he owns the company Stericycle that disposes of the remains of the aborted babies. And all these guys endorsed him over Obama in 2012, and Romney was doing Obama's policies when Obama was in diapers. You know, he's got gay marriage, and, you know, I'm not going to get into the debate and the issues, but he's got gay marriage as executive order as a governor. He says he's for border security, but he had two sanctuary cities. And now he's sitting here saying to the media about this New York congressman up here, DeSantis, that came right out and told lies, clear black and white lies. And he goes, you know, we all are off a little bit and we fudge stuff, but this is a liar. And I'm sitting there going, you're an evil man. You are an evil man. And I'm sitting there listening to this guy today promoting. No. I can't go with that. You know, you don't have to agree with me, but don't tell me what I don't. Don't tell me what's true to get my vote or my support. You know.
Yeah.
And it's the Christian leaders. I keep saying, they're up here telling us America needs to repent and turn back to God. And I'm saying, you know, we're there because of who you've put in office, because people trust you. I tell them in a heartbeat, I don't trust you, you know, because when you ask them, you send them the record, here it is, and they go into ignore mode. So you know, we can't, I ain't going to say we're done, but, you know, we're pointed in that direction. And,
again, that's kind of why Trump may have been maybe the last hope, if you want to someone who stands up and challenges what they're saying and what they're doing. And if it's a true sign, and I believe the fact that we do see so much support, even with some of his crazy stuff that he does, the nonsense, whatever, I think he has so many people still supporting him and believing he's the one who's truly going to help save this country. If it's not him, I really don't know. Ron DeSantis has done a lot of good things with Florida, and I've liked a lot of stuff he's done, but I don't think he can, at this point, he can't do it. And if he's going to play games now, then I've lost a lot of faith or hope for what I would expect of him as a president. So he's really, to me, causing a lot of problem for himself if he wants to do the right thing. He needs to step back and say, what's best for the country?
He doesn't need to be. DeSantis does not need to be competing in a negative sense. We're joining in on the pushing Trump over the cliff because Trump was good to him. Trump was good to him as a governor.
Yes.
And, you know, and when he was in Washington, D.C., and he endorsed him. And then, and this is just politics, that, you know, you endorse me because, you know, we got to get up there and beat the Democrats. But then whenever you got something going on, we don't have to compete. Don't throw me under the bus, you know. And Trump is, I mean, DeSantis has fallen into that where you got the most medias are out here kind of like stirring up this Trump stuff, trying to make DeSantis think that he's a rock star. And I'm going to tell you what they want. They want him there because they can control him if he gets up there. They can't do that with Trump, and Trump's the only one that's ever went up there kicking and never stopped kicking, and he's still kicking. And the rest of them at some point will get tamed.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's exactly it. I definitely believe that. And that's, again, why they're so determined. The evil element out there is so determined to get him out of there. And we just have to see. And that's what this indictment's all about, trying to stop him. And I guess some people have said, in the grand scheme of things, if they're successful and they truly put him in jail, well, that's a whole other story. But most of us don't think they will be successful in doing that. And if they it will maybe empower him more, not less. It will make people realize this is really how bad things are, and if they would do this to this person. Yeah.
Let us not forget the type of slug that's doing the indicting. This is a man, this Bragg character, is the same one who indicted a bodega man who was clearly engaged in lawful self-defense and reasonably believes is in threat of serious bodily injury or death from a thug who accosted him in his own store, went behind his counter to attack him. The same guy who won't give bail, who won't require bail or demand bail for people who commit the most violent and heinous of crimes, who lets them off every chance he gets. And he wants to go after a former president of the United States for a 7-year-old non-disclosure agreement on trumped-up charges involving federal law applied to a state legal matter. It is beyond belief that this could possibly even be happening, which is why sometimes I don't think it actually is, because it's just utterly impossible. It's got to be some kind of a stunt.
Well, here's what I don't
get.
It
definitely is that. And actually, Karen, on that one, when it comes to the game that they're playing with Trump right now, DeSantis, he was out there and he you know, he's trashing this DA and the Soros thing, but what else, there was something else. What could he have done to help prevent extraditing him to New York? Because he's a Florida resident. What else do you think should DeSantis have said or done anything else? To me, he was very vague. I don't think I liked what he said in reference to the DA stuff, but it seemed kind of weak. What else do you think he should have been saying out there? Karen, if you're talking, you're on mute. Well, I don't know. I see Karen's still out there, but I'm not hearing her.
You know, here's what gets me is the simple minds. You know, Sally, you could tell me, because we heard in the news that the bank got robbed, you could tell me Sarge did it. And, man, I automatically can't believe that he would do that. And I don't even want to hang around here. I don't even want to talk with him because he robs banks. And yet there's no – I haven't seen any evidence that would do that. And that's what they're doing because they know people will get frustrated. And how can, especially these religious people, you know, they'll – God knows, I can't believe he's hanging out with these kind of women. I was telling somebody this weekend, have you noticed that we didn't hear from her when he was running for election because they didn't think he was going to win. He got elected, and all of a sudden she's out there saying what she did. And then it didn't work. But now she's back. And I said, you know, I guess she ain't making any money, so she's got to get some by making lies up or running is the truth. It doesn't matter. The people fall for it.
Yeah, but I'm really talking more about what DeSantis' response was. Karen, if you're out there again, let me know. Because what should have DeSantis said? Because a lot of people are really saying, well, that was a pretty weak answer. True response about Soros and the DA and the DA politicizing and all this kind of stuff. So he said some good points there. Excuse me, but he didn't say anything. He didn't seem to be supporting it. He was not as supportive of Trump as I think he should have been, saying what they're doing is wrong. This is a violation of the human rights and what, you know, what America stands for. And this is all, whatever, you know, it just seems like he could have done more. And then the process of actually, since he's a Florida resident, extraditing him to New York. I don't know what else he could do as governor, but I just don't think he was as supportive as he should have been, but maybe I'm missing something. To me, it seems like he should have been a little bit more aggressive or stronger in saying what he's doing was wrong. Because he kind of said he was staying out of it. He had things to do for the state of Florida. We're fighting this and that and whatever else, and he's discussing these things, which is all good. It's all true. And so he's not getting involved in that. I don't know. I have problems. To me, it was kind of a weak message.
Well, especially whenever he's real dogmatic on a lot of other issues. He's out there in your face, and then all of a sudden, I'm not getting involved. You know, I don't know. I just know DeSantis is doing a great job, but I think they see they can control him. And here's the other part. You know, Sarah Palin wasn't even in a full term, and she got pulled out of her job early, and was treated like like she had experience. You know, and he's the same way. If he doesn't finish the job and he goes on to his next job, he can't have that on his resume because he didn't finish it. And if he changes the law so that he can do it, right there tells me I can't trust him because he won't change any laws for me to get convenient, you know?
Well,
so he'll do it for him.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay, well, Karen, did you ever reappear or did you take the mute
off? Yes, I'm here. Sorry about that.
That's okay. I understand it all too well. Were any thoughts you on what DeSantis was saying in reference to the Trump ordeal as a Floridian? What are you thinking?
I think that he made a big mistake with what he said, and I think he followed the talking points of his donors and not saying what this was really about, which is if they go after Trump, they can go after you. They can go after me. He didn't say that. So I think it was a big poop, and I don't think that his poll numbers are going to be what they were. And as somebody described this, I think with Richard Barris from, I don't remember what polling company, but I believe he said that this was his Scott Walker moment, because Scott Walker was a rising star until he said something stupid. And I think that listening to your pollsters and not your constituents is a bad move, and I think that's what he did.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it was good for him, and he needs to change his game too. The two of these people better get their act together, or they're just going to hurt each other.
Mm-hmm. He missed the moment. He had a chance to, you know, really do something terrific, and he was a blah 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 like he was a talk show host.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Well, let's right now we're kind of obviously bringing a few other things in here, but the serious issue of these elections and these electors, people need to go to their state constitutions and see how they're manipulating these electors and what we can do to stop the chokehold of two political parties over these elections. I am in total agreement that closed primaries are totally unconstitutional. We have to force that. That's what Trump and company needs to do. I don't, DeSantis, I believe he would continue on with the party piece. I'm not sure he's ready to reject the parties. I do believe Trump is ready to reject the parties, but Trump needs to really embrace the 50%+ of no party and third party people out there who are sick of the two parties. He needs to be going after them to secure this next election and to change things. He's got to talk to them in a different tone, if you will, and not be so assured that, you know, they're like some Republicans, the diehard Republicans. He's got to reach out to them and say your vote counts too. Just because you're a no party affiliate doesn't mean your vote doesn't count. Doesn't mean, you know, you should not have to pay a poll tax by being part of one of these organizations. And I'll go back to what I said in the beginning.
That sounds like preaching to take up an offering.
Did you know that most of the other Western countries have they have like 14, 15 political parties, each representing either a different industry or a different group? And in order for anything to work, they have to form a coalition. I find it very interesting, because that's what the farmers just did, thank goodness, in the Netherlands. They formed a coalition, and now they are the ruling party in the Netherlands. So things can change very quickly when you have multiple parties, folks. But we have rules.
Exactly.
And the part of the problem is that in order to be a registered political party in a state, which you have to be, it's very expensive.
Yes, and there again is where they allow, and these are all private entities. People have to understand these are all private entities, and how your state controls or allows this to continue on. The state is saying we don't care about the no parties. We're going to go for this elite group, whatever kind of thing, these people we care about, and we're going to ignore the rest. And it's not right. It's not right that we have to take back the ballot box. Trump, I think, could lead a movement to do that. I don't think DeSantis could. DeSantis can continue to promote the Republican GOP nonsense, but I think Trump has an opportunity to make us Americans again, instead of being Democrats or Republicans or whatever else, to make us Americans again, because that's what we're supposed to be. We need to be pushing. We're Americans. Americans?
Hold on.
Oh, somebody's getting a call there. So we have to change that attitude. We have to get back to some, I'm sure there's always been some fraud in elections. I'm not going to try and act like things were squeaky clean in the past, but they are so much further gone now. The technology has allowed them to hose up the system. The evilness goes back to, I can hear somebody talking in the background. Let's see here. Let's go back to what,
Hey. Stellar job, and thank you for what you're doing, and I will see you again next time.
Yeah, I was
thank you so much. You
want to
put your show out there real quick?
Oh, that would be a good idea. Thank you. Please visit my Substack, which is KarenShones.substack.com, and sign up and get my newsletter. You can go to KarenShoen.com, Karen with a K, K-A-R-E-N-S-C-H-O-E-N. And that is where all of my podcasts and my writings would be. And you can listen on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. And with my wonderful sponsor, go to the Florida Citizens Alliance. They're doing amazing things in Tallahassee, which we should have a, hopefully we'll have a conversation on. And my show is on Saturday and Sunday at 7 in the morning and 9 in the evening. And thank you. It has been a pleasure as always.
Hey, Karen.
Thank you, Karen.
Karen, are you going to do an interview with Rosie?
Yes.
Because that there is your that's your cup of tea there.
It sure is. Yes.
And I know a guy that I know a guy that teaches the Constitution, and he went to a board meeting, and all the parents gave up their 2 or 3 minutes so that he could do a complete speech on what they were doing as unconstitutional.
That's
I can send you
that.
I can send you.
To be changed. The people have to get together and work together. That's what America is.
That is. I'm going to send it to you so you can see what you can, see if you can use him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Great.
I'm going to let y'all go because I got to get something done. But anyway, thank you, Karen. Thank you, Sally. And Sarge still there?
Listening avidly.
Hey, salute to you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, too. That was quite enlightening, your little discourse.
Yeah. Hey, did y'all hear about the archaeologist that dug up a fossil in Washington D.C.?
Make it fast.
They suspect because it didn't have a backbone. They suspect that it was a prehistoric congressman.
Okay.
I'll see you
guys.
All
right,
me. I want to. I understand you got to drop off, Nathan. That's okay. And Karen, again, thank you both for joining in. It was a good discussion. Then the other is, this goes back to Washington, and all combinations, this is Section 17, all obstructions to the execution of the laws, all combinations and associations under whatever plausible character with the real design to direct, control, counteract, or awe the regular deliberations and actions of the constituted authorities are destructive of this fundamental principle and of fatal tendency. They serve to organize faction, to give an artificial and extraordinary force, to put in the place of a delegated will of a nation the will of a party. Often a small but artful and enterprising minority of the community, and according to the alternate triumphs of different parties, to make the public administration the mirror of the ill-concerted and incongruous projects of faction rather than the organ of consistent and wholesome plans digested by common councils and modified by mutual interest. That is what Washington said. He didn't believe in political parties. He was not part of one. So you need to really appreciate how these two political parties have taken over our country and our ballot box. By taking over the ballot box, they've taken over our country, but we've allowed them to do it. That's why we have to have a call to action to take back the ballot box. Contact your state representatives, find out what they're doing with those electors, and also get rid of the machines. We have to own the vote. Right now it's not our vote. It's the political parties, and understand that they are private entities. Very, very big deal, private entities. So, okay, now, Sarge, one last thing, and then I'm going to try to get the song out there of Trump won and you know it. So any last word?
Yeah, next on the scale, in addition to getting people to understand the original intent and the actual meaning of the text of the Constitution along with the original intent, is as I think we've established here, to take advantage of whatever rigged system the Democrats have set up with regard to ballot harvesting, because right now it looks as though they set up the system so a Republican may never again win the White House. And if we don't confront that in a manner that makes it equitable, equal rather, you know, we're doomed.
Yeah, exactly. That is exactly what has happened.
I mean, instead of ballot harvest where it's legal, we better out-ballot harvest the Democrats and make sure they don't rig the system so their candidate always wins no matter what.
Exactly. That is exactly where we are at, and we have got to take back the ballot box. We cannot let it continue the way it is. We're done. This will be the last election if we don't take back this ballot box. I mean, that's my own belief. I'm just hoping and praying we survive long enough to have this last election, this next election, I should say. This next election to have a chance to save this country. Because I don't think we'll have it after that. So anyway, excellent discussion. Really do appreciate it. Thank you so much, Sarge. Always good hearing from you. And, of course, Nathan. Now I can say I held up my promise. I told Nathan I was going to give him this show and we were going to talk about this election and the Electoral College stuff. And I think we did. And I think we covered an awful lot. And people really need to think about what we're saying compared to the nonsense, the rhetoric that you hear on the propaganda news media stuff. And go out there and do your own homework. Definitely check and see what your own state is doing. Okay, please do that. Next week, we might be doing the Nuremberg stuff next week. I have to check. We've got a lot of stuff coming up. I'll be sending out an update and putting out the other show in reference to what's going on with COVID. We need to really we're going to have another show on COVID and then the Nuremberg trial stuff. And actually, next week, I'm going to try, if I can squeeze it in, I want to give a little bit of an update on what's going on here in Florida. Because they are in the legislative session right now and people need to know some of these things. So, yeah, there's an awful lot of stuff we have to cover, but we will get there. And, again, I appreciate everybody tuning in. God bless America. Please stay engaged and do not sit on the sidelines. You must be part of the solution. And with that being said, I am going to attempt to play this new one where it's Trump won and you know it. And it was Natasha Owens, who wrote this. So please listen and enjoy. Yes, I can get it to play. Oh, it's supposed to be playing here. Whoa, there we go. Now you should be able to hear it. Oops, maybe this video isn't going to do its stuff for me here.
Thank you.
What do you think of that? Hopefully you enjoyed that and remember what they were saying, and go watch the video. The video is really good on it, and this is what it's really, truly is what it's about. So with that being said, once again, good night, everyone. Great show, and we will talk again next week. God bless America, and please, please say a prayer for our country. Thank you.